John, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Tony. How are you?
Good to see you at the Spartan game on Saturday.
Yeah, it was a great game, great win, and, you know, 4-0 going into Michigan. This is going to be a heck of a weekend.
And I'm a dummy for asking you this, but who's going to win on Saturday?
I think MSU wins by 3.
All right. I'm going to hold you to that.
Well, I hope I'm right.
Well, let's talk about the debates. First of all, are you working with either the Bonero or Snyder campaigns?
No, I'm not. All right. You know, I did the Hoekstra campaign through the primary, and after that I pretty much said I'm having a normal life this fall. So it's been kind of nice.
Well, good. I wanted you on neutral footing here. Let's talk about the upcoming debate. There is only one debate. That's been a topic of discussion for the media. I guess if you're Rick Snyder and you've got a big lead, you want to do as few things as possible to assure that you get elected. But if you're Bonero, who is trailing in many of the polls, you want as many head-to-head outings as you can. So how do you see the debate process?
Well, I think your analysis is absolutely correct. I mean, really, as a candidate, you try to limit the damage. And this political year is different than most other years in that, you know, the public is just looking for something different. There isn't the clamoring for debates or public exposure and things like that. So in a normal year, I think you'd have an outcry from the media and the public to have more debates, but that just doesn't seem to be happening. So the Snyder campaign has played it pretty well. There has been no outcry for more debates. They did agree to one, so they can say, hey, we had a debate. This will be a very controlled format. And I think it'll be very difficult for probably either candidate to make any big mistakes. It'll be more like, a joint presentation more than anything else. But you will get to see how the candidates react. The thing that really won't allow is, you know, direct questioning back and forth, like people think of a debate where you can get a little more animated and a little more aggressive. I just don't think that'll happen this time.
We've had much discussion on this program about that. There's all these rules and regulations to how this debate is going to work. But I think what you're trying to tell us, in essence, people don't care about that. They just want to hear how the candidates are going to address the economy, how they're going to create more jobs for the state of Michigan.
Yeah, and, you know, during the DeVos-Granholm debate, the first one, 4 years ago, Tim Skubick was the moderator. There basically were no rules, and it was a really tough give and take back and forth with him. You didn't know what the questions were going to be. He had the right to follow up, to do anything. It was really more of a no-holds-barred debate. This one won't be like that, but I think people will get to see. I think they'll be looking for a little more specifics than they've seen in the commercials or read in the articles. They won't get a whole lot of that, but they'll get some insight into both candidates, how they respond, how they react. And I really think that it puts a premium on somebody who looks gubernatorial, who looks like they can come in and take over the responsibilities of the office.
Is it important to have no holds barred debates just to see how these individuals are able to think on their feet in the heat of battle, especially when the emotions start running high?
Well, I think it's important for somebody like me who kind of looks for somebody's temperament, how they respond under pressure, how they're likely to respond to maybe a legislature that's not willing to go along or agree with them. You just get different insight into how they handle themselves. But, you know, frankly, I think the public is so fed up with politics as usual that they don't really care this time around. They just want somebody who's different, who's going to get in and fix what in Michigan are some very, very significant problems.
I keep hearing the term leadership used and the lack of leadership that has been not only in the governor's office, but with our state representatives and state senators. From the aspect of finding compromise and looking out for the state as opposed to looking out for the Democratic agenda, the Republican agenda, do you think that a new administration and new folks coming in to Lansing will be able to help that process? As you know, John, as well as anyone, there's been a tug of war with the lieutenant governor, with the minority leader, with the majority leader, and of course, you throw the governor in there also.
Yeah, you know, part of that's a byproduct of term limits, in that people just didn't have well-established relationships like they used to. I think what we saw this year with the budget, everything went through pretty smoothly. I mean, there was the usual sniping back and forth that you always get. That's part of politics. But they got the job done. And, you know, it should have been done a little earlier, but they got it done before the fiscal year starts. So, you know, things got done the way they should this year. And I think that's a byproduct of, well, one, a lot of people are leaving, but also they have the relationships now. They know what the other party's thinking. They know how to work with them and how to negotiate. And that just hadn't existed. I think with a new group coming in, I think the public will be absolutely fed up if it's a repeat of what we've had in the past. So I think they're looking for more cooperation. They're looking to get the job done. I think if you go to a biennial budget, a two-year budget, that will help relieve a lot of the pressure. So there are things that a new administration can do to lead and set the tone, but they also need to bring the legislature in and include them. The one thing that I've heard is that, you know, the legislators coming in are saying, we are a co-equal branch of government, and you have to work with us. You can't just dictate to us what you want. And that's one thing that I think the Granholm administration didn't really communicate well with them, so they didn't know what she wanted. And then they'd pass the bill and it would go up, and sometimes it would be vetoed when they had no indication that that was coming. So I think a new administration can learn from that and hit the ground running in a much more positive way.
We're talking with John Truscott from the John Truscott Group here based in Lansing. It's 827. You're listening to the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS. The two-year budget issue, what other states use that, John?
Oh, I just heard there was somebody who did a three-year budget. You know, I know Brooks Patterson does it in Oakland County. I think some of the, I don't know exactly, but I think some of them that have part-time legislatures will come in, and it might be states like Texas, where they're in only for a couple of months every other year, and it seems to work well for them. You forecast out, you can make adjustments mid-year if you have to, but, you know, it just allows for planning. It's the fair way to do it, especially for school districts who are on a different fiscal year, local governments who have to project out. It's pretty tough to hold them hostage and say, you know, you'll adjust your budget, you know, with 10 days to go before it starts just because we said so. I just think it would tone down the rhetoric quite a bit, and I think just to allow for more rational planning for those who receive government money.
Recently came out in the news that Rick Snyder had some tax issues, as well as the lieutenant governor candidate for Virge Bonaro for the Democrats had an issue with a foreclosure. Those issues were taken care of. Do the people care about those, John?
I think they would care if they were not taken care of immediately, but they were. The one thing about Rick Snyder with numerous different businesses, you know, and you're depending on accountants to fill things out and get them in, and if somebody messed up, then you hold them accountable. You know, this seems to me like on both accounts, on the Republican and Democrat side, that they were one-day stories, so I don't see much coming of it from here on out. And when you look at the elections just right around the corner, less than a month to go, so I don't see how it picks up much steam.
All right, if nothing happens in a shocking manner, who wins and by how much?
Michigan is a state that always naturally tightens up at the end, but I do think Rick Snyder wins probably by about 6 or 7 points.
All right, John, thanks so much. John Truscott from the Truscott Group. We'll talk with you soon.
All righty, we'll see you.